From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of June, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Republicans have quietly moved to legislatively protect farm subsidies. Negotiators from the European Union have reached a new deal on food product labeling. And leading chicken feeders in this nation say they have begun to swap out protein sources as the price of corn has moved higher. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and more ag news stories. And then, as you'll recall, the World Agricultural Outlook Board made the not-so-unprecedented but still rare move to lower planted corn acreage in the June WASDE numbers last week. We'll return to those numbers today and explore how that happened with U of I ag economist Daryl Good. And as we close out our half hour, we'll take up the agricultural weather forecast on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished lower in the wheat and the corn pits. July wheat at 708.5, down 22 and 3 quarters for the lead option. September at 739 and a quarter, down 22 and 3 quarters. And December futures, $7.79 and 3 quarters, down 22 and 3 quarters. July corn futures, 725 and 3 quarters, 29 and 3 quarters lower. September at 704 and 3 quarters, down 24 and a quarter. December, the new crop, $6.66, a settlement price down 19. The March at 677 and a half, down 20. May at 684 and 3 quarters, 19 and 3 quarters lower. July at 691 for next year, down 18 and a half. And next year's December, the 2012 contract at $6.05, down 16 and a half cents. July soybeans at $13.68 today, settled unchanged. The November contract at $13.66 and 3 quarters, up 3. And November of 2012 at $13.50, down 8 and 3 quarters. Bean oil up $1.30. Bean meal 20 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the June contract at $104.20, down 7 and a half cents. August feeders at $126.97 and a half, down 27 and a half. And the July lean hogs at $95.25 were up 80 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Here's how the outside markets settled. Crude oil futures, $95.10, still trading up $4, or rather down $4.27 at this hour. Ethanol at $2.68.8, down 6.3 cents. And July natural gas at $4.58.2, up 0.1 cent. Heating oil or diesel fuel, $2.99.9, up 12.6 cents. And the gold futures on the day, $1.80 higher at $1,525.60. The Dow just about 200 points, actually 194 points lower at 11,881. The CRB index at 338.96 is down 8. The U.S. dollar at 75.6, up 1.26 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy. A high of 77 degrees, southwest winds at about 13 miles an hour. Chance of precip this afternoon set at 40%. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 60. West winds at 7 to 13. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high near 81. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 63. Friday, partly sunny, a high of 83. Friday night, a 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 67. And on Saturday for the weekend, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high of 86 degrees on Saturday. Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, a low of 70. Sunday, it'll be sunny and a high of 89. Sunday night, cloudy, a low of 72. Monday, sunny and a high of 89 again. And Monday night, cloudy and a low of 73 degrees. By the time we get to Tuesday, skies will be cloudy again, showers and thunderstorms, a high near 88 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, is on the phone line to take a look at the futures markets with us. Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Hi, Todd.
Was it all about the outside markets today?
Well, of course, a lot of it was. And, of course, why was that? Well, overnight, European economic community didn't basically back Greek debt. The Greeks are setting fires in their streets, and tear gas are going all over Athens. And it shows, you know, political deadlock in Europe and a lack of control. Of course, they bought the U.S. dollar. The U.S. stock market's off over 220 points. Crude oil is off 446 points. It's risk aversion, risk avoidance, it's wealth destruction, you know, as far as, you know, a lot of wealth in the world has gone up in smoke, particularly with the stock market. The commodities, of course, corn took a bigger beating, the biggest beating, I think, on the trading floor. Beans actually closed higher, and, of course, there's probably less speculative open interest in beans. A lot of spread unwinding, and the market closed pretty rough. At least the old crop corn didn't close limit down.
It was corn following the crude oil market lower or something else?
I think it was something else. And, of course, what is something else? Well, when people have these bull spreads on, long old, short new, when they see possibly a large open interest and speculation, it's I want to get out, and with this new modern trading system and electronic trade, it started last night and it continued, and there was over 24,000 or 25,000 contracts of corn liquidated today, and that's where all the big playing was, so to speak.
So it's a lot of money that moves in and out of the market quickly and causes, I suppose, temporary blimps. Is that what you would call them in the marketplace?
Well, I think when you start talking about this big risk avoidance and the big stock market avoidance, you know, we are talking about billions of dollars that are coming out of the economic system, and it does show the economic peril both here in this country and around the world, particularly Europe.
Well, it starts with Greece again this time around. Are you fearful that it will spread through Europe at all?
Well, I would imagine when their stock market gets going tomorrow morning, you're going to see a real catastrophe in European trading and also in Asian trading tonight. We do know some supportive things, that this corn has finally reached a price level where the VAT tax is no longer implemented, so Chinese can buy and import corn duty-free. We are getting back to areas where some ethanol plants can, you know, get back to profitability. We do know that corn still has a big part of the growing season ahead of it. And at the same time, we do know that the price has dropped considerably. So, you know, there's some reasons why we don't think that this is a 3 or 4 day deal, but we did take a lot of money out of the financial world today.
Go back to one of those supportive things. Do you know details of the VAT tax? Is that a Chinese tax, an import tax on corn coming into China? Is
you
that
know,
right?
Bassey put out any price below 729 pencils into China, Sinograin, the buyer. This government buyer does not have to pay a 13% VAT tax, and that basically a green light to import corn whenever there is a margin, and we know that that's the case. So this does give them an opportunity to buy corn. We do know that last night their corn prices hit record levels. There is a margin, and let's face it, our exports are one of our problems, both manufactured goods, and our corn exports seem to be lagging. So hopefully this will give a little bit of strength in the market overnight.
Well, are you cautious the corn market at this point for producers on new crop?
Well, you know, we did say that, you know, been encouraging some selling, but also we've also encouraged some bull call spreads to offset that sales. The big thing here is that this almost 40 some cents decline in corn is a different corn price than we did see before. So I think I'd kind of close the bin doors up at this price level.
All right, that's what I wanted to know. And on soybeans, much firmer for what reasons?
Well, I think that you know, there wasn't the open interest speculative long in the beans. That's A. Drew Lerner is still talking about maybe a cyclonic thing developing in the Gulf sometime in the next 5 to 10 days. My other weather people say that's maybe a guess if at best. But so there are some major weather problems like in Mississippi, Louisiana, and the Southern Delta. And I think that that's also something that they're watching. The other thing is that the bean market, there was a tremendous acreage of beans planted late. We do know that there are some beans being planted in the wheat ground in the Delta in the South that they need a rain. And at the same time, if you know, the supply and demand in beans, although isn't as critical as corn, you know, it is a very tight situation. So that's some of the reasons why I think soybeans are somewhat supportive.
Paul, thank you so much for being
with
us.
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Now, a couple of ways you can hear Paul again, if you'd like, from our radio station is to visit our website online at www.willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.O-R-G. You can find Paul there, not only in the Closing Market Report, but also in the Opening Market Report on this Wednesday. It's updated just about 15 to 20 minutes, maybe a half hour, after we get off the air the first time around with him. You can find everything from our pre-opening market report to the closing market report, a way to sign up for our weekend newsletter there. Or you can call this number, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. It's 217-333-3434. It's all part of the agricultural service that comes to you from willag.org. Now, here's your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Republicans have quietly maneuvered to prevent a House spending bill from chipping away at federal farm subsidies, instead forging ahead with much larger cuts to domestic and international food aid. The GOP move will probably prevent up to $167 million in cuts in direct payments to farmers. Meanwhile, the annual bill to pay for food and farm programs next year would cut food aid for low-income mothers and children by $685 million, about 10% below this year's budget. Farm subsidy cuts won bipartisan approval in the House Appropriations Committee 2 weeks ago, but as debate on the House floor began yesterday, Republicans turned to a procedural maneuver to drop that language. European Union negotiators reached a deal today on new food labeling rules, which aim to fight rising levels of obesity in Europe by helping consumers to make more informed purchasing decisions. Under the agreement, all food products must carry labels showing their energy, salt, sugar, protein, carbohydrate, fat, and saturated fat content. It must now be formally approved by the EU governments and the full parliament before becoming law. Pilgrim Pride's Corporation says it has started feeding small amounts of wheat to chickens at some locations in the eastern United States. One of the first confirmations that pricey corn is prompting at least a partial switch in feed. The company also has increased the use of distillers' dried grains, a corn byproduct of ethanol production. Tyson Foods, the number one chicken producer, says it has also been feeding small amounts of wheat. A Tyson spokesperson says the company would like to use more wheat, but that supplies are tight. The Canadian Wheat Board says that Western Canadian farmers dealing with the second year in a row of excessively wet conditions are expected to leave roughly 6.5 million acres of cropland unseeded this year. Most of that unseeded land will be in Manitoba and Saskatchewan. Seeding of major crops was estimated to be about 86% complete across Western Canada, which compares with a normal year, which would see seeding at 100%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both programs you can hear on our website anytime you'd like at willag.org. Now, up next, you know, last week, the World Agricultural Outlook Board lowered its estimate of U.S. corn acreage. And as you'll hear, it's not an unprecedented move, yet it's still one that happens rarely.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The June World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, or WASDE report, from the World Agricultural Outlook Board lowered the number of acres it expects U.S. farmers to plant to corn this year. That number dropped by 1.5 million. It's an unusual move, says University of Illinois Ag economist Daryl Good.
It's kind of a rare thing for the World Outlook Board to do that, but they have done it in the past, most recently in 2002, but in 95 and 96 when we had really late planted crops, they did make some judgment about acreage in the June report. And frankly, there was a lot of chatter in front of the report that they might do that, citing the previous examples when they had.
Still, there's something about seeing it on paper, says Good, especially from the conservative analyst at the World Agricultural Outlook Board, that confirmed lower prospects for corn in the United States this season.
They lowered the estimate of planted acres by 1.5 million acres, and I think rightfully citing very late planting in the eastern Corn Belt and the northern Plain states, and then lowered the prospects for harvested acres for grain by 1.9 million acres, again citing flooding of already planted corn along the Missouri and Mississippi rivers. I mean, there's some private estimates out there that 400,000 to 500,000 acres have been lost to flooding. So the adjustments seem to be very logical to me.
Good also believes the board did the logical thing and left the yield prospects for corn unchanged at 158.7 bushels to the acre.
It gives us a crop of, what, 13.2 billion, down about 300 million from what we were looking at last month. USDA also lowered their expectations on feed use of corn for next year by 100 million bushels, and I would guess because of prospects of tight supplies, high prices, we would expect some reduction in consumption as we move along the demand curve. Even so, that gives us a very tight year-ending stocks projection of 695 million bushels.
That's a stocks-to-use ratio of 5.2% for the coming marketing year. This season's ratio is 5.4%. USDA is now in the process of surveying farmers about the number of acres planted to corn this season. The survey-calculated acreage figure will be released June 30th. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, the University of Illinois. You can find us online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. We post everything from our pre-opening market report to the closing market report each and every business day. And Commodity Week, our flagship program, our guest on Commodity Week this week, Bob Utterback of Utterback Marketing Services out of New Richmond, Indiana. It's a Wednesday afternoon and time to check the cash grain market. The folks at the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana, should be on the phone lines with us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And who do I get the pleasure of speaking with today?
Scott Butcher with you.
Oh, hey, Scott, how are you? Glad to have you on board.
Great.
Sorry to haul you out of a meeting this afternoon, but we want to take
fine.
I hope it wasn't that important and that you...
No.
Good. So tell me about cash grain movement in your area after we got above that, you know, the last week and then what's happened since that point.
Yeah, we definitely did see a lot of movement last week, Todd, with the futures moving up the way they did. You know, obviously basis levels were already high. So with the futures moving up the way they did, we really saw, plus $8 corn at a lot of different places. So that really started to get things rolling again. You know, also planting finishing up in a lot of areas around here, you know, also helped as well. So, but things this week have kind of flipped the complete opposite with the futures market moving down the last couple of days pretty severely. Basis levels are probably going to have to strengthen up to keep things moving.
It was plus $8. That was on the old crop, of course. Where were you on new crop?
New crop, we were plus $7, so we were finally, kind of getting above that $7 mark, and, also saw a lot of new crop moving as well.
Yeah, so just had to say I sold $7 new crop, and certainly had to say that I've never sold $8 corn before. I had to move that, too. Were you able to garner much out of the bins at $8?
Yeah, I think what is still out there, still available. I mean, a lot of the stuff it seems like in the bins is already sold, just waiting to move. So there's not a lot still available to be bought. But I think we did purchase, a good portion of that last week when we got above $8.
And what are your current bids?
Right now for cash corn, we're $7.56.
All right. And for soybean?
$13.68.
And new crop?
New crop corn, we are $6.49, and soybeans, $13.27.
As you look forward into the end of this week and the beginning of next week, what do you see happening with corn basis?
I think the corn basis is going to continue to move up. I mean, obviously, with the futures market moving down, not only is it, going to basically the basis is going to have to move up to keep corn moving, but it's also making things are a little bit better for the ethanol business in terms of margins. With the futures market moving down, it is helping a little bit. Kind of, you could pay a little bit more for basis and, still cover your costs. So, I think that basis is going to continue to improve.
All right. Thank you so much. We do appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, Todd.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons Delphi facility. It's called the Climbers there in Indiana. Well, somebody from that office joins us each and every Wednesday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report to take a look at the cash grain market. In just a couple of minutes, we'll be back and we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. You're listening to Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report.
It's Key West Conch Fritter Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1752, Benjamin Franklin's kite-flying experiment proved that electricity and lightning were related. He did that while flying a kite with a key attached. In 1844, Charles Goodyear received another patent for an improvement in India rubber fabrics by adding white lead to the sulfur and heating method he patented in 1839. He had spent several years since going bankrupt in hardware trying to improve natural rubber, which became sticky in summer heat and brittle in the winter. He had experimented to coat it with a powder to make it less sticky when he accidentally dropped a mixture of natural rubber and powdered sulfur on a hot stove in Woburn, Massachusetts. The heat completed the process. Despite the value of his inventions, he died in poverty in 1860. In 1851, Jacob Fussell, a Baltimore dairyman, opened the first commercial ice cream factory. At that time, the average American ate less than 1 teaspoon of ice cream a year. By the way, the first recorded reference to ice cream in the New World was found in a journal entry dated 1744. It described a dinner party at the home of Maryland's governor, Thomas Bladen, who served a dessert of ice cream made with milk and strawberries. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Have you tuned into Illinois Public Media's Commodity Week? It's our look back at what happened each and every marketing week in the commodity futures from Chicago and around the globe. Commodity Week airs on many of these radio stations and can always be found online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Our guest on this week's edition of Commodity Week will be Bob Utterback of Utterback Marketing out of Richmond, Indiana.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City is out of his office today, but he did send along a weather forecast for us. Drew says that across the U.S. Midwest, additional rainfall worsened flooding from southeastern Iowa and northeastern Missouri into western Illinois yesterday. Some of those areas, he reports, received as much as 7 inches of rain on Monday into Tuesday morning, and an additional half to inch and a half of rainfall Tuesday throughout the day. Rain then moved southeastward into southern Illinois, parts of southwestern Indiana, and amounts through 1 o'clock were about a quarter to 8/10 of an inch. Another area of significant rainfall occurred from southern Minnesota into parts of northernmost Iowa, with about a half to 1.6 inches of rainfall. Other locations from central Minnesota and parts of western Wisconsin into southeastern South Dakota, northern Iowa also receiving rainfall, that from a quarter to 3/4 of an inch. About a half an inch reported in Nebraska and right in through central Iowa. There were up to 2/10 of an inch of rainfall, says Drew Lerner, in the eastern parts of North Dakota. About 3/10 to 7/10 of rain was reported in the interior eastern parts of the Dakotas, with local amounts up to 1 inch and 3/4. The remainder of the Midwest, though, was dry. Looking ahead now, frequent showers and thunderstorms during the next week, says Drew, will keep soil plenty moist in most of the Midwest. Excessive rainfalls in portions of eastern Iowa into Illinois should come to an end today, and flood conditions should begin to improve. The only area in the Midwest, he says, that should dry down at times will be in the southern part of the western Corn Belt, where temperatures will be the warmest. Topsoil moisture there is already low, but there's plenty of subsoil moisture in place to support crop development for a while. Locations from southeastern Nebraska and eastern Kansas into western Missouri will need to be monitored, of course, as the subsoil moisture begins to erode. Late planting will progress slowly until rain becomes more restricted beyond June 23rd in the west and June 24th in the east. And that's a look at the weather forecast as it comes from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated for the United States. You can hear Drew most Wednesdays right here on the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.